Hallelujah. His fire never sleeps unless we put it to sleep. Amen. We all have the decision. We all have the opportunity. We all have the privilege. We all have the tools. We have the weapons to keep the fire alive in each and every one of us. It's our responsibility. It's not pastor's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's not the staff's responsibility to keep our fire burning. Amen. The house of God provides the weaponry. We have to use it. It's our choice. And in that, you know, we all come from numerous different backgrounds. Every one of us has a different story. We all have a different testimony. We all have a different upbringing. We all have a different childhood, a different line of family, and things that we've been involved with. But we all have a call to the kingdom, each and every one of us, no matter where you came from, no matter what you've done. There is a call on your life to the kingdom of heaven. And we don't take it serious. We play games with it. We don't realize the severity of it. I mean, if you stopped and you took a step back and you like got quiet, got away from everybody, and just got before the Lord and actually thought about that, there is an eternal call from the throne room of God, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created everything, on my life. He put a call in me for the kingdom. Until you really step back and grab a hold of what that truly means, you're going to be lost. Until you realize the severity of it, you're going to be lost. And the sad thing is some people really never grab a hold of it. You know, they hear it. They kind of believe it a little bit. They see people doing stuff and whatever. But they never really have that heart penetration that they are truly called by God to fulfill a mission, to fulfill a call for the kingdom of heaven. And until we grab a hold of that, until we make that a reality, you're going to battle, you're going to struggle, you're going to have hard times, and you're going to go around the mountain. And it's sad because so many people miss the call of God. And the reason why it happens the majority of the time is because there are cracks in the foundation and there are houses being built that are not of the material and the order that God has predestined and ordained. Amen. And being that we all come from different backgrounds, we all have different things that we bring to the table, different baggage, different habits, different things that need to be broken off and removed. And a lot of times it's very hard for people to get free from the way they have been doing things their entire life. And so they tend to bring these things into the kingdom and try to, you know, grab a hold of this from God and grab a hold of that from God and then add a little bit of themselves and then maybe take this from God and then put this in there from their self. And that is not God's intention. God has predestined tools, materials, and other things in order to establish and build the foundation and the temple that he has preordained and destined for you. They are pure and they are perfect. They do not need your assistance. They do not need your thoughts. They do not need your blueprints. They do not need your hands. What they need is your cooperation. They need your cooperation. And in your cooperation, what you are to do is sever every single thing in your life and seek after him. And that's it. When you get positioned to where nothing else matters but seeking him, communicating with him, receiving from him, touching him, reading about him, studying about him, praying for him, doing everything based off of you and him having connection. Until you come to that place, everything is going to crumble. But when you come to that place, all you have to do is just keep seeking him. And as things come up, he will show you. Get rid of that. Don't touch that. No. Don't bring that to the table. Leave that there. It's not that you have to like constantly be moving your mind like, okay, what do I got to do now? What do I got to do now? What do I have to stop now? What can I bring? What should I do? What blah, blah. No, it's what do I need to do with you, Lord? I need to spend time. I need to seek after you. I need to get in the Word. I need to worship my brains out. I need to make connection with you as much as possible. And that's all I need to think about, is how I'm going to stay connected with you. That's it. That's all that needs to be on your mind. That's it. Everything else that needs to go, everything else that needs to be worked on, everything else that needs to be taken care of, He will bring in due time and season. He will show you. You have a problem there with lust. Let's go ahead and sever that thing and bind it up. You have a problem with fear. Let's sever that thing and bind it up. You're touching this. You need to stop that. The problem we have is we get our mind wrapped around it, think we have to do 500 gajillion things because I struggle with this and I struggle with that and I can't handle this and I can't handle that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then we drive ourselves in a madness spin around and we just go crazy. And a lot of people have a hard time letting go of control. And that is the main thing that we have got to learn to do, is let go of control. And there's a saying that everybody knows. We hear it all over the country, everywhere you go. Everybody knows it. Let go and let God. And we hear all these cool little fancy sayings that sound great and wonderful. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, let go and let God. And they say all this stuff. But nobody does it, is the problem. It's one thing to speak it, but if you're not doing it, it's powerless. Amen? So we've got to learn to put these things to practice that we are actually taught to do. And it, you know, the reality of it is, it's very simple. It's like, it's idiot proof. I mean, you know, most of us were complete and utter morons and did all kinds of crazy psychotic things out in the world. And look, God has done a miracle, sign, and wonder in so many of us. And it's not because we're rocket scientists who are geniuses and could go work for NASA. It's because God can use anybody and do something with anybody as long as you'll just surrender control and step into the call that He has on your life and allow Him to build the house and not have to have your hands dictating everything. Amen. So, you know, in this, this is always a cool one for me because I do construction work and I get to see things built and I get to watch things go from just being a dirt patch to something awesome. I mean, just watch the growth from underground all the way to, you know, just the ground level and then up above ground. So in that, you know, we have a lot of people involved in this, man. We have project managers and project engineers and we have subcontractors and we have an engineering firm who comes up with a design for the stuff that we have to build. And there was a job that our company was the general contractor over, so we were like the head people in charge. We had an engineering firm who designed, you know, all the structures and all the stuff for us. And so, you know, we were getting ready to break ground and build this big concrete structure. And our guys from our office, our project managers and our project engineers, went to the engineering firm and looking over their blueprints and everything and told them, you know, this is not going to work. There is not enough steel in this structure. There needs to be more reinforcement in these walls in order for them to withstand what is going to be inside these walls. It's a big, humongous water tank. So you just imagine you fill a tank up, a humongous big circle full of water, it's going to put so much pressure on those walls. And if they're not reinforced properly, those walls are going to crumble. Amen? And this is exactly what God is doing with each and every one of us. Imagine Him as the general contractor. And He's coming to us saying, hey, look, man, your plan is not going to work. If you go with that plan, whenever the pressure comes, whenever the weight comes, whenever things start to come upon you in your life, you're going to crumble. Your building is going to fail. So step aside and let me lay out the plan that I have for you that's pure and perfect. And it'll never crumble. It'll never fall. It'll never fail. All you have to do is come after me with everything you have. All you have to think about is me. Seek me. Press into me. Worship me. Do the prayers that I give you to pray for the people that are out there and for yourself. Do what I ask you to do and come after me with everything you have, and I'll work it all out. But so many times we come with our plans and we start putting in other materials and stuff like that, and then when the wind comes, we crumble. We fall and we go back to the old. It's vitally important in these times. You know, God is trying to raise people up to be warriors, to be soldiers. And from what everything's going on in the world these days, man, it seems like people are getting softer and softer and softer. And they're getting more emotional and more emotional and more feeling oriented instead of warrior oriented. Amen. It's, oh, this offends me. And oh, this bothers me. And oh, I don't like how that feels. And eh, I can't do that right now. Maybe later. I don't feel like it. And all this. Everything is feeling, 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 feeling. And that is what's going to kill the people of God. So we got to come out of this place of how I feel and what I want and what I think and get to a place of I don't care about anything else but God. I don't care about anything else but what He wants, what He desires. And I don't care what it takes to get there. Because I know at the end of it, He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And it's going to be something that is going to be more blessed than anything you could ever hope or dream or imagine for yourself. So let's go to Psalms 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. There is a foundation and a temple that God has designed to build us into. His plans and material to build are pure and perfect. The enemy's number one priority is to contaminate the plans and material that are used to build your foundation and temple. The reason for this contamination early on is to implant an access point for later on in your walk. So everybody's aware, you know, we all had a point when we first came into the kingdom, we first met the Lord, and it was awesome. You know, you get touched by the Lord, you start feeling all these amazing feelings, you start getting freed up from all this stuff, and you're at a place where you're completely surrendering and giving up to the Lord. And then you start to feel a little bit better, and then, you know, then you start to think a little bit. And that's where the problem comes in, is your mind starts coming into it. So then you start to add little things, and you start to, you know, fall off of routines, and you start to compromise a little bit and whatever. And that's the exact access the enemy's looking for. And you know what he's looking for it for? It's not so that he can take you out today. It's so that 6 months from now, when something comes up, he can use that access point to come in and take you out. And quite possibly take somebody else out next to you. So that's why, you know, early on for me, I give you a little testimony, man. Like my time here at Total Freedom was absolutely excruciating at the beginning. Amen. You know, most of us are coming from criminal backgrounds and having, you know, every one of us is coming from a rebellious background. Every one of us. I don't care if you were a drug addict or not. Nobody wants to do what they're told to do, period. Everybody's got their own ideas. But coming from that background, you know, where everything was my control, what I want, what I feel right now, that was it. And coming into a place where it's like, I don't care how you feel, you're going to obey the rules, it's a big change, you know, and you got to get used to stuff, and your flesh starts to die, and you start getting to a place where it's either you die to it or you leave, and you go back out there into the world. For me, that wasn't an option. You know, when I got here, I don't know about most of you and where you were exactly in your life, but if you were anything like me, you should have been in a place where you were completely sick and tired and utterly done with that world out there. Because when I came here, I was broken, I was destitute, I was destroyed, and I was at my end. For the first time in my life, I was ready to die. Like, I was never a suicide person or thought about suicide or dying or anything like that. I burned through in the world. I just burned through. I went through all the pain and suffering and anguish, and I had finally got to a point where I was like, this is it, man. I'm ready to just die. I can't deal with this anymore. Spent a good amount of time in the county jail, and that's where I actually met Total Freedom, and they got me an application, and I ended up going through some, I mean, God maneuvering miracle signs and wonder in the courtroom thing that was just unheard of, and got sentenced here instead of going to prison for 5 years, which was like unheard of. I mean, the state attorney or the state prosecutor was in the courtroom speaking up for me, which is unheard of. The prosecutor's job is to put you away, period. And they were like vouching for me and saying, hey, man, we talked to the family and we think this would be a good idea. And here's a judge who was before me whose daughter died of an overdose on heroin, which was what one of my charges was, and here I am again on a violation of probation for drug charges. So his immediate thought was, you're going to prison, period. There's no other choice for you. And God made a way of escape. I came here. So coming here, you know, I ran into a brick wall because people were not budging on the rules. It didn't matter who I was or who I thought I was. It's like, look, dude, you either abide by the rules or you go to prison. So I got to a place where I was able to humble myself, be submissive to the house managers, be submissive to Pastor and Kate. And what got me to that place was I was at a place of being broken and done. And I would come in this house and I would go in that war room and I would worship my ever-loving heart out. There was no anything of, I feel like poop, I don't want to sing. It was, I was in there every single time, pouring my heart out to the Lord and thanking Him for the opportunity to be free. And that is what a lot of people lack, man. They lack that thirst, that hunger for Him. For Him. They lack the gratefulness for being rescued from where they were. Because every one of us that was out there should be dead. Probably many times over. I know for me, many times over. I know for me, many times over, I should be in prison for the rest of my life. And we've escaped that. And not that I was someone special, but for some reason, God allowed me to see how sorry I was, which was the biggest blessing in the world, that I could see myself so small and know that I was absolutely nothing without Him. So every time I came in this house, I pressed in and worshiped my butt off. Every time. Every time in the war room in intercessory prayer, I prayed as hard as I could. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about a feeling. It wasn't about getting something. It was about saying, thank you. Thank you for the rescue, Lord. How can I be of service to help somebody else who was like me out there be rescued? Amen. So that is number one where we have got to get in order to maintain God being able to use the pure materials and resources to build the house so that you will not fall down the road. You've got to make Him priority number one, and everything else must be tossed by the wayside. Family, children, everything. And there were times, even as going along in the program, you know, you start growing, you start getting stronger in the Lord, and you start growing in wisdom and knowledge and all that stuff, but there was still a place of knowing that I'm nothing without Him. Man, I would go to places, man, and there would be girls trying to hit on me and say stuff to me, and I would blow those girls off. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm in a relationship with Jesus. That's all that matters to me right now. I had a girl say that she thought I was gay. And I was like, no, ma'am, there's nothing gay about me, I promise you. But what you don't understand is my walk with the Lord is number one. Because anything else is interference with me and Jesus, and that's not going to happen. There will be no contamination in my walk with Jesus. That was how dead serious I was. Because I knew on the other side, the devil was just as serious about killing me. And about killing my family. About killing my children. And far be it that I come and play games in the house of God with the call that He's put on my life, with all He rescued me from, and throw all of it away over some nonsense fleshly desires. So there's also a place where you press in, you worship your brains out, you pour everything into Him, where He keeps you in a place where stuff like that will not penetrate your spirit, soul, and body. It won't affect you. And there's two ways it'll go. You're either pressing in and God will block that kind of stuff, or you're not pressing in and when it comes, it's going to bring pride to you. And then you're going to fall. This isn't just for people that are just starting. You know, once your foundation is built, once your house is built, you got to maintain that thing, man. There are walls that can come down through contamination that you allow in. And you know, when we talk about the devil wanting to contaminate things, just because he didn't get you right off the bat, he could get you a year later. You touch and agree with something and bring that contamination in. So this is for everyone. This is for 10-year veterans in the kingdom of God, 30-year veterans, and this is for first dayers. Everybody's got to keep that house clean. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. We know that unless God builds a house, we labor in vain. This is some confirmation on that scripture that I know I've heard a million times and I love every time I hear it. It always brings something new. But this is just another one to kind of back it up. That's really awesome, man. And it says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So we knew, you know, we all know who Paul is. I don't know if we really know much about Apollos. We know that they're both ministers of God. We know Paul is a major minister of God who brought many to Christ. So we know that they were used mightily by God. And it says here, this is what God is saying. I, God, planted Apollos, watered. I'm sorry. I, God, planted Apollos, watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed to how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So, it is vitally important that we forsake all, completely surrender to God and his plan. When it comes to this building process, our job is to seek him with all of our hearts and let him do the building. If we keep our hands out of it and completely surrender and seek him, he will show us what to do and when to do it. So it's all about his will, his work, his time, not ours. Amen. And you know, this is all stuff that we know. You know, we all know this stuff. The problem is we, you know, we lose track of it. And, you know, in my time in the program and my time being at the ministry, man, I've seen a lot of sad stuff, man. I mean, I've been like real deal Holy Ghost brothers with some people, you know, coming through the program. We were on fire together. We met the Lord together. We worshiped together. We warfared together. We were serious about the kingdom together. And I have watched some people that I never in my life would have thought fall, that fell. And it used to boggle my mind. Like, Lord, how is this even possible? You know, to see somebody who is so filled with the Lord, so on fire for the Lord, so gung-ho about killing the enemy and about destroying the powers of darkness and about rescuing the lost and freeing people from captivity, how in the world can they fall and go back to the world? It would kill me because I couldn't understand it. And all I would say is, Lord, please don't let it happen to me. You know, like, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be in that position. Show me what to do so that does not happen to me. Cause me to never let go of you so that you'll never let go of me. And there's a lot of things that it takes, man. There's a lot of maintenance. There's a lot of exposing self is the biggest thing, which people have a hard time with. There's a lot of admitting you're not right. There's a lot of admitting that it doesn't matter how far you've come, you still have stuff to learn. You have not arrived. I don't care if you've been here 8-10 years. You still make mistakes. And you still have to learn. And you're never above anybody. I don't care if there's a guy here who's been here one day. I'm not above him. I may have a little more wisdom and knowledge. I may have a little more stance on giving counsel or correction or direction or something like that. But I am not up here over anyone. Amen? That is not how we are to see ourselves. It's God up there and us down here. And without him, we can do nothing. Because it's not us. It's not us anyway. We can't sustain, we can't keep up with any of this stuff without him. And that's the bottom line. And that's where I really truly believe people lose sight, is they get in this place of thinking that they know a little something and they start allowing that little bit of pride to creep in, which brings contamination in their building structure, and they don't see it and repent for it and get it rebuilt immediately, and then it festers and grows, and then there's other things that come in and bring contamination to different parts and pieces of the temple that God built, and then before you know it, it crumbles. Something comes that you can't handle because all the contamination, all the infiltration of the enemy, and your house crumbles and you go back out. And that's why it's vitally important, if you are constantly in a position of seeking Him and pressing into Him and ministering to Him, He will reveal those things to you before they come. Period. He will make a way of escape every single time if you are doing the things that you're supposed to be doing to seek Him and listen to Him. We have been called to the kingdom, and the enemy will do everything he can to keep us from our call. So we must stay filled with fire. You know, there's a place where it's no longer about being a drug addict anymore or addiction, you know. The devil doesn't have to use drugs or alcohol to take you out of position. He can use offense. He can use unforgiveness. He can use anger. He can use bitterness. And that's another problem, is people get on this stream of, well, I'm not drinking and drugging anymore, man, I'm doing excellent. But you're not paying attention to this over here on the side that you're touching and agreeing with that is allowing the enemy to come in. And that's just as dangerous, because after you get to a certain point of these little contaminations over here that lead you to addiction, and then you're back using again, and you're like, how the heck did I get here? And you go back and you look, and it's that one little open door, that little leaven that leavened the whole lump and brought you back to a place you thought you'd never get back to, because you thought you were good. You thought you were in a position of being okay. So we've established, you know, that we have a foundation that God is building. We have a temple that God is building, a house that He is building in us. And now we have that house. We've, you know, made it through the beginning. We've stayed clean. We have a strong, solid house. Now we get to that place of maintaining that house and maintaining that temple, maintaining that foundation and keeping it clean. And the only way to do that is through staying filled with the fire of God, which is His presence. The moment you lose fire is the moment you lose your call, because you fall into a state of being lukewarm, and then you're absolutely useless to the kingdom, and you are absolutely praised by the devil because you're doing his work and you don't even know it. You think you're good still. Hebrews 12, 25 through. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. So we know God is speaking to us. He has a plan for us, and we do not need to turn away from his plan and put our hands in it. 26, it says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So let's look at that. So that tells us right off the bat that we have crap in us that God has got to get rid of. Amen. If we do not get rid of it, our home, our temple, our foundation is going to be contaminated. So in this process of seeking Him, He's not only going to establish a firm foundation, a solid temple, but He's going to remove those things that are going to bring contamination to our temple and our home, which is going to cause us to fall back and backslide. Amen. So there's a multidimensional deal with everything that God does. He's not only building, but He's also removing. Amen. And in that, we have got to stay alert while we are seeking, while we are praying, while we are pressing in, while we are worshiping our brains out and coming after Him with everything we have. We have to also understand that we're dirty. We got some dirty things that need to be gotten rid of. And it's not about that we're bad. It's about that we need to get cleaned. We came here for a reason, to get cleaned up. And this is not a one-time deal where God says, okay, it's gone now, you're good to go. It's an everyday deal until you go home. We must maintain a clean temple. We must seek Him with everything we have and allow Him to put those dirty things in front of us day in and day out so that we can get rid of them, so that the enemy does not have access through a back door. Amen? So don't let it beat you up. Just know we all deal with it. We all got problems. But we also all have the Holy Spirit, so we can get rid of those problems and kick the devil's butt. So, 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So, in order to stay cleansed and purged, what do we need? We need fire. What is it just saying about what fire is? That God is a consuming fire. So what does that mean? We need more God. We need more of Him. We need more of His presence in order to have more fire. In order to keep the devil out of our lives, out of our heads, out of our family, out of our walk. Amen. So the more you have Him, the more fire you have, the more burning up you do on the enemy's kingdom, the more free you get. And the more you can do for the kingdom. Amen. Don't ask me to repeat it because I probably can't. You have to listen to the video after. There is nothing new the enemy can do. All he can use is our past if we let him. And with that, you know, there's nothing new that he can do, but he will come differently to use the same things that he's used before. I've watched it happen to people, man. I've watched it happen to people where he came the exact same stinking way. And I told a brother, dude, this is the same exact thing that took you out last time. And praise God you were able to make it back. And far be it for me to not tell you you're being an idiot and did the devil is playing you the same way he did last time. Please don't do what you're about to do. He did what he was about to do, and he's still out there running the streets using drugs and back and forth in jail and all kinds of stuff. Lost his wife. He lost all kinds of stuff, man. Who knows if he's going to live? Who knows if he's going to die? Who knows if he's actually going to make it back to the Lord? I don't know. And, you know, everybody needs to know this is a reality. You know, this isn't stuff that we just hear teachings Sundays and Tuesdays. This is true testament that I can tell you that I have watched firsthand in my life. People I love have watched them be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and the next day on drugs again, out in the world. So it's available for everybody. If you don't want to take it seriously, it's available for you as well to go back out there. And this is the devil's game. He gets you taking things lightly and not making a big deal about things, and you think it's okay and you're doing all right and whatever. You start to slack off in worship, start to slack off in your morning prayer time, start to say stuff like, oh, the same song and all this and that and all this. And then before you know it, you're out and you're back on that run again. And you don't have a clue how you got there. And, you know, the biggest thing that I could share with people who have, you know, been here and been out there and then been back is when you come back, don't try and figure out what put you out of position last time. There's nothing to figure out. Today's a new day. It's all new. Everything that happened before is done. All you need to do is seek the Lord with everything you have and let Him purge those things that are not pleasing to Him. He'll figure it out. He'll guide you through. He'll do the steps. You seek, you ask, you knock, you come after Him with everything you have and let Him bring stuff. You don't have to figure it out. God will do the work as long as you cooperate with the plan of seeking. So staying filled with the fire of God purges you of your past and denies the enemy access. He will try any way he can to get in your temple. If he can't get in the front door, he'll go in the side door. If he can't get in the side door, he'll go through a window. He is the ultimate thief. This is why we must be equipped with a Holy Ghost security system. Staying filled with the fire of God exposes and destroys every tactic of the enemy and positions us to step into our call to the kingdom and stay in our call in the kingdom. Amen. You know, Pastor did a teaching last Sunday. It was about hurts. Was it emotional hurts or burning through the hurts, man? And I'm telling you right now, I got freed up from some stuff in that teaching, man. And, you know, the powerful thing was, man, is, you know, we all deal with stuff, man. We all do. I don't care who you are. Pastor deals with stuff. Benny Hinn deals with stuff. Everybody deals with stuff. I don't care how long you've been doing it. I don't care how long you've been with the Lord, how much you know the Lord, how on fire you are. You deal with stuff. Stuff comes up. And it's just, what do you do with that stuff? That is the difference between people like Pastor and Benny Hinn and all these other people that are serious and on fire for the Lord, is they don't allow it to dictate their life, the situations and the things they deal with and the mistakes that they make. Amen? We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. And it says that in the Bible, that we're going to go through that. But what are you going to do with it is the question. And that's what the ultimate outcome is. And, you know, for me, some things that I had been dealing with was that, I knew something was there, but I couldn't exactly pinpoint it, you know, because I know the training. I know what I'm equipped with. I know, forgive and bless. I know, forgive and bless. I know, forgive and bless. You know, over and over and over. You forgive and bless until it goes. Amen. And it doesn't always go just because you say, I forgive and bless. I sever the emotional attachment. I put a bloodline of Christ Jesus in between us, protect us all from evil penetration of the enemy through this emotional attachment that's trying to penetrate. It's got to be a daily warfare deal. Sometimes it takes longer to forgive and bless about something. But I'm telling you, when you stay consistent with it, when that breakthrough comes, it's like, thank you, Jesus. The freedom is here. And a lot of times God is testing us to see if we're going to just say, you know what, this isn't working, you know, something's still there, something's wrong, I don't know what to do. Or are we going to stay persistent and chasing the enemy down and saying, uh-uh, you're not going to get me, I'm going to get you. You got to die. You're not going to kill me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to chase you until you're done. You know, there's a psalm in Psalms that says, I beat my enemy like the dust until they were no more. And that's what we have to do with our enemies. We got to chase after them and stomp them until they're done. And so in that, you know, there were some things that I knew I was dealing with. And because I come in this house and I seek the Lord with everything I have, I worship my brains out every time, whether I feel good or not, and I'm always pressing into Him and staying on my blessed routine, I am able to see that I'm dealing with something and not allow that to penetrate and take full root in me to cause me to go with the vivid picture that the lie is trying to paint. Because let me tell you something, unforgiveness, bitterness, offense, it will paint a vivid picture to try and take you on this crazy path way off course from what is true. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, you will not be able to recognize that and shut it down. Amen. I am not perfect by a long shot. I'm not going to say it. I usually say I'm an idiot by nature, and I guess I just did. But I am not the greatest of all time, man. I'm far from it. And I thank the Lord that He allows me to know that I'm nothing without Him. Nothing without Him whatsoever. So I know that when I am able to see stuff like this, it's thank you, Jesus, for letting me see that I am messing up. Thank you for showing me the way to get free from that so that I don't have to fall on my face and eat dirt and go through all the craziness of the world again and maybe come back or maybe die. Thank you. So just know that no matter how far along you get, you need to be able to see your funkiness still. Because if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, you will get caught up on that vivid picture the enemy paints, and you'll run off with it. And it's going to take you somewhere you don't want to be. How many of you know when you are offended with somebody or you have unforgiveness or something like that, you can find and hear every single thing that person does wrong? I mean, loud and clear. Everything they do wrong from the day until the day you actually get over it, you hear everything. You see everything. You point out everything that they do wrong, that's not right, that they said, that they did, that they should have done, how ungodly they are, how this, how that. And you know what you're doing? You're becoming them. You are now a hypocrite because what you're doing is passing judgment on an individual instead of severing the emotional attachment, forgiving and blessing, and casting the offense out. So now you are doing what you are accusing someone of doing. So just know the devil's got you in a trap if that's the way you think. Repent and get out of it. There is so much freedom in forgiveness, man. And the word says if you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. So whatever you're holding, whatever your grudge is, whatever offense you have, you better turn it over to the Lord now and you better repent and you better start fighting that thing and repenting from it and destroying it and not claiming it every single day until that freedom comes, because it will take root and it will bring you down. All right, Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If you are not pressing into God and staying filled with the fire of God, can you do any of this? Can you put on humility and kindness and meekness and long-suffering and bear with one another and forgive? No. So you must first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that you can do these things. You have to stay pressed into Him. You have to stay filled with the fire of God so that the old you stays destroyed and dead, and the new you can bear this fruit. It says, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So a big red flag for you should be if you're not this way, if you're not bearing these fruits, press in more. Amen. If you're frustrated and angry all the time, if you're snapping on people all the time, if you have a problem forgiving people, if you have a problem forgiving yourself, you need more Jesus. That is the answer to everything. Period. The answer to everything, the key to everything, is staying consistent in your pursuit of Jesus. Period. It is the fixer of all things. More of Him in you is less of everything else in you. So, in this, from my experience and from what I've seen and what I believe is that offense is a major cause, a major root cause, or probably the most major root cause of addiction. So offense brings rejection, which brings unforgiveness, which brings bitterness, which brings resentment, which brings anger, which brings pride, and there you are, out of your call to the kingdom and back in addiction. If you know, you think back, okay, I'll read it again. So it says, offense brings rejection, which brings unforgiveness, which brings bitterness, which brings resentment, which brings anger, which brings pride, and will cause you to walk out of your call. Once pride steps in, it's over. And the root cause, it starts with one little thing like we talked about earlier. You have this big, beautiful house, foundation, all firm, and that one little thing you let in opened up the door to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 other infiltrations of the enemy, which just crumbled your entire temple and brought you back out of position. So just know that just because you're not using right now, you let little things in, it'll only be a matter of time before you're back out there on that run again, man. And it's not to say that like I'm speaking anything over you. It's to tell you the God's honest truth. Do not play games with God. Amen. Do not play games with the call you have on your life, man. Take it seriously, man. It's, you know, I say this every teaching I'm in. I can't express it enough. I'm always saying, take it serious. And people have told me, man, you're too serious, and you're serious. You better get more serious, because you're about to be out of position. And I'm telling you right now, some of the people that told me I'm too serious, one of them's dead. He got stinking shot when he left here, and he's stinking dead. And the girl he left with is out there doing God knows what. So take it serious, because people are dying out there, man. They're not getting the opportunity to come back. And it's sad. It's sad. You spend a lot of time with these people. You pour your heart into these people. You see them start to grow, and you tell them, dude, that decision you made right there is an open door, man. Don't go there. Don't go there. And they blow it off. I'll be all right. And it stinks, man. And all we want to do is help you. We want your life to be saved. We want you to make it. We want you to make it home. We want you to help other people make it home. We want you to have all the things that God has for you. But if you go start thinking about those things and chasing those things and put those before God, it's only a matter of time before you go back, man. And that's another big thing. Like, everybody wants a wife or a husband. Everybody wants a car. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants their kids. Everybody wants that. What you need to want and only want is Jesus. As long as you're here, your thoughts should be on is Jesus. If you're already planning on, I'm going to get this job, I'm going to try and get this job, I want to go to work, I'm going to try and set up maybe going to work with this person or do this, I'm going to, you know, start making this money, I'm going to save for this, and I'm going to get, you're already in big trouble. Big trouble. Because the enemy's already got you on your mind on the things of the world. Your mind early on and throughout should only be on Jesus. And knowing that he's going to bring you all that stuff in due time. And he will. He will. I've watched it in my own life. I have watched him. I have watched me sit on the sideline and do nothing but serve in the ministry. Every Saturday, every evening, everything I did was serving the ministry. I didn't go after the big job that paid a whole lot of money. I didn't do any of that stuff. I took the bottom of the barrel job that Pastor told me to go get, and God has built me up in that company and raised me up and has given me more than I could ever even imagine because of staying faithful with the little and staying faithful with doing kingdom work. God brought the things of the world. He brought the wife. And you know what the best part is? It's his and not mine, so now I don't have to maintain it. It just stays. And it increases. Because he's the one doing it, not me. And it goes back to who's building the house. Are you following God's blueprints, or are you chasing your own plan and blueprints? Your blueprints are going to fail. They're going to be... How can I say this? That's not bad. They're worthless, is the bottom line. Our plans are worthless. God's plans are everything. So don't fall into the lie and start making plans for your life. If you want a wife, press into him. If you want finances, press into him. You want a husband, press into him. You leave that stuff behind you, and guess what? It'll come around the corner one day, brought by him, right in your face. You won't have to go chase it. I was here 3.5, almost 4 years before there was any move made for anything like that. My wife was here 5.5 years or something like that before there was any move made for anything like that. And people say, my goodness, how did you wait that long? And that tells me you're in trouble. What your question should be is, how did you stay so patient? What did you do to stay patient and seek God only and leave that stuff for later? That should be the question. Because 3 years, 3.5 years ain't nothing. There's got to be a rise up in the house of God, man, with fire. I mean, you know, you come in and you see just the most lukewarm worship so many times from people, man. And it's going on all over the place. There has got to be a fire in your worship. There has got to be a fire in your prayer time. There's got to be a fire when you go to intercessory prayer. Period. If you're not on fire, you're not growing. Bottom line, if you come in this house and you're just walking around, yep. There is no Jesus in that whatsoever. And if that's where you're at, praise the Lord that it's exposed. Get your butt in position and come in this house and worship your socks off. Because it's only a matter of time before the devil snags your butt and brings you back out of position. Because there is a crack in your foundation, there is damage in your temple, and he's coming in. So, get serious. Get on fire, because you've been rescued from a lot, man. You have been rescued and saved from a lot, man. And there's so much more he has for each and every one of us. And don't think that I'm just getting up here talking to everybody else like this. This goes for me too. Amen. I got my own problems. I got my own things I battle. I got my own fires I got to put out and all that stuff, man. I got my salvation that I have to work out. And first and foremost, when God gives me a teaching, it's for me. Amen. So just know that I'm not up here barking at people. I'm looking in the mirror as I'm saying all this stuff because I got to walk it out. Because I'm responsible for my salvation. And I'm responsible for being a leader in the kingdom of God and being somebody that other people can look up to. And I have to make sure that I'm walking in divine order so that I can actually be worthy of that call. Amen? So that when my brother comes to me and asks me questions and says stuff, I can speak from the Holy Spirit, not from the flesh. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 1. says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." And this is vital right here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And we're going to stop there for a second, because what that tells me is that there's a time and season that you have to really chase him down and seek him so that there is further movement forward in the kingdom. Once that time and season is up, God lets the course run. And what happens when the course runs? That usually means somebody falls out of position because they did not take heed to the warning and the time and season that God appointed for them to get connected and to have that foundation and that temple built properly. That time has worn out, and they got to go around the mountain again. Now, that's not saying that God has washed his hands with you. That's not what it's saying at all. It's just saying for that time and season, you better seek him while he may be found, because there's going to come a point in time where grace runs out and your butt's going to be back out there again, and you better hope you can get back in position to get right with him. There's always the opportunity to call out to him. There's always the opportunity to turn around and repent. But that doesn't mean we don't reap what we sow. And a lot of times for people, they don't get to that place where they cry out to the Lord before it's too late, and they end up in a situation they can't come back from. So just know, man, you may think, "Oh, well, we got time before the Lord's return, and we got time, you know, I'm going to be here 9 months, and I can get serious tomorrow," and all that other. You're already thinking like somebody who's back out there using. It's a matter of time. It needs to be God now, God now, God right now, period. Not later. So seek him while he may be found. I don't know where I'm at now. Thank you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. So that means turn from your ways and get in position with him. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So it doesn't matter where you're at right now. You're here in this house, there is opportunity. Amen? You're here in this house, there is opportunity. Wherever you're at, sever it, shut it down, and get where you're supposed to be. Amen? Today's the day. Today is the day. Get repositioned. God has made it very simple for us. I mean, we get everything we need. Like every single service, we get everything we need to make it, and to make it in the glory of his goodness. Not just make it part of the way or survive, but to be in complete and full freedom and have all the things of God. So he's made it very simple for us to keep the target off of our backs. The problem is that we make ourselves an easy target for the enemy because we don't do what it takes to stay on fire. Your feelings will kill you if your fire goes out. John 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So we know, if we're walking out of order, we're out of here. If we are bearing good fruit, he's going to continue to pour into us. So he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So it's going to be a little painful. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we are nothing without him. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask, and what you desire, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you may be my disciples. So in that, press into everything. Press into your teachings. Press into your private time with God. Press into intercession. Press into worship. Press into Him, period. Press into Him with everything you do. Whether it's your chores, whether it's your house cleaning, whether it's what you eat, you press into Him with everything you do. Stop being distracted wimps. I know it sounds harsh, but bottom line, people are distracted, they're wimpy, they're not warriors, they're not on fire, they're not pressing in with everything they have, and they wonder why things don't happen in their lives. And this is for the whole body. This isn't just for this house. I know so many Christians that are just like standing on the sideline. They go to church. They think everything's fine. They do absolutely nothing. I know people that think they're Christians and they don't even go to church. And they blame everything on God. Oh, this is happening and we got to always deal with this. And got to deal with that. And, oh, I don't know why He's left us like this and all this stuff. What are you doing? Are you abiding in Him? Are you pressing into Him? Or are you whining to Him all the time? Are you crying about your circumstances? Are you crying about your situations in your life? Are you whining about this or whining about that? Or are you getting in the ring and kicking the devil's butt and going to war and taking action and seeking the face of the Lord? You get what you give. He'll give you everything if you're willing to put in everything. So, you know, another thing, you know, when we are warfaring, you know, we need to be savages. You know, the Bible says that we take it by violence. We take the heavens by violence. That means you need to be in the war room. You need to be in this sanctuary violently seeking after the enemy. Amen. If you're standing in the war room, intercessory prayer, and you're thinking, when's the next song going to come on? We've prayed in tongues long enough. Can they play a longer song this time so we don't have to pray in tongues? Why are they using such short songs? And shouldn't they put more songs and less tongue time? And you know, that's not what intercessory prayer is for. I'm just going to share something with everybody here. So back when I was coming through the program, we would go in that war room and it would be like, I mean, the most savage, violent, destructive, noisy, spiritual warfare time that I could ever even imagine, man. And you know what we were fighting for? You. Each and every one of you here in this room. And you want to know the people that were in that room before me? They were fighting for me so that I could be here. That's what you need to be thinking about when you go in that room. That's what you need to be thinking about in your prayer closet when you're reading those prayers. Not, my God, man, I got to go do this again. Why? That is the most wimpy, selfish deal that you could ever be a part of. And if that's the way you are, God bless you. Turn it around. Amen. There are people out there that were in the same situation that each one of us were in. And because of that war room, they have another chance. So don't go in that place thinking that you have to do this again and I can't deal with this and it's the same song and I don't want to pray in tongues that long and my throat hurts and I can't do this and all that other sissy, wimpy nonsense. We are warriors. That is who we are. We are warriors for the kingdom of heaven. And it's time to start being who we are. Fighting the good fight as warriors, honorable warriors for the kingdom. Not caring how we feel, but knowing there's a child out there who is held in a cage being raped 10 times a day. That your prayer and warfare in that war room could set free. That's what our mind needs to be. That's how we need to grab a hold of the power that God has placed in each and every one of us in this house that we've been taught in. We have the power to rescue those children. We have the power to rescue those individuals who are involved in kidnapping those children. Let them go to jail, but let them get rescued in jail. Amen. But somehow somebody has to pray that they're exposed. And that's our job. That's what God has placed us here for. So kick the devil's butt when you go in there and stop worrying about your toe being sore or whatever it is that's going through your mind. You had a bad day or whatever it is. Who cares, man? There's somebody out there who has a way, way more excruciating and worse life than you could ever even imagine or anything you ever went through. And that's the mindset we need to stay in. They need us. And we're going to close in 2 Chronicles 20. I know it's kind of hard to find a scripture that we haven't heard like countless times, but you know, we are so fed here and go through so much of the Bible week in and week out. It's like you can't find a new scripture, I promise you. And you know, a lot of the scriptures we use, they're so multidimensional that it's like you can always find something new in them. It's phenomenal. So 2 Chronicles 20, starting at verse 1. And this, you know, to me is pretty much a guideline, you know, for all the promises of God, all that he's capable of doing when we actually truly seek him, when we get out of ourselves, when we don't try and fix things, when we don't try and put our hands in things, and when we actually believe the promises he has and see things in the spiritual realm for what they really are and step in and do the things that he's actually asked us to do. So before we read this, I want you to picture your life, you know, your life, what God is doing for you. You know, God is building a foundation. He's building a new temple for you. And God has countless, innumerable blessings and things for you to not only do for the kingdom, but also to bring into your life for you, your family, and to expand the kingdom of God. Amen. So imagine, if you will, that we apply this to that whole situation. And it says, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi." So right there, we know without a doubt in our minds the devil's trying to kill us. He's trying to bring as much stuff against us as possible to get us out of position and to get us to stray and to get us to go back to the old life. So, verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared, that was his first reaction, was fear, because he's got all this stuff coming against him. So Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So fear came, but what did he do with it? He squashed the fear and he got before the Lord so that the Lord could show him what to do. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not?" So they just decreed and declared the promises of God and what he's spoken and what he said. "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them, and I did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O Lord God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." So no matter what situation comes, no matter what they think they can handle or can't handle, their eyes are on him because they know it's him, not them, who's going to work the miracle. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, and a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and seek the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, we'll stop there for a quick second. So at the very beginning, when he sensed fear coming on, and his first thought after that was to seek the Lord and have all the people seek the Lord. And then after all the people seeking the Lord, a word from the Lord came and was told to all of them what they need to do in order for the Lord to move. Had Jehoshaphat not been in divine position and filled and dressed and possessed with the Holy Ghost and fire, his first response after fear came to bring reaction, he would have reacted. And everything that happened after that wouldn't have happened. And they probably would have been attacked and destroyed. Their whole kingdom would have been utterly destroyed because of lack of connection to the throne room of God, lack of fire, lack of his presence. Amen. So the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. That is what I call the Holy Ghost security system. Amen. We talked about the Holy Ghost security system that we need for our home, which is the fire of God, the temple that he's building. They maintained that Holy Ghost fire security system that burned up the enemy and his plans. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, so they all started killing themselves. They fought against each other. And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Now, we're not saying that we're going to, you know, kill all these people and take all their spoils. We're looking at this from a different point of view. Amen. When you are faithful with what God has given you in the little, he will bring much. And being faithful and seeking him constantly, keeping a clean temple, maintaining a clean temple, maintaining, repenting for any contamination that comes in, this is the outcome. The spoils are innumerable. And it's not just about money and finances and vehicles. It's about peace, man. True peace within yourself, within your spirit, within your heart, within your family, within the people that you are around all the time. Peace will be carried with you everywhere you go. You will be known as a peacemaker and peace giver. And that is more valuable than anything. And believe me when I tell you, he's going to bring the cash too. But that's not what the outcome, the main goal is. That's not what we're striving for. That's not what we're doing it for. We're not doing it for finances. We're doing it because it brings glory to His name, and it brings us complete and total freedom, and it allows us to step into our call and actually fulfill that call in the kingdom. Amen. There's so much God desires for us. Don't allow the enemy to steal your inheritance. Deny yourselves and step into your call to the kingdom. And don't let the enemy sway you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and bless you. We ask that you would just keep this word imparted in each and every one of us, Lord. Cause us to look in the mirror daily and even numerous times during the day, Father, to see anything that the devil tries to sneak in. We know that he's a slippery snake. We know that he's constantly trying to bring deceptions and delusions and compromises and laziness and complacency and bring all kinds of nonsense, Lord, to rob and to steal and to kill and destroy and keep us from walking in our call with you, Lord. So right now, we just nullify his plans. And we decree right now in the name of Jesus that your word will grow and bear fruit for your glory, Father, and that we will be able to impart this in other people and rescue those that have been taken captive as we have been rescued, Father. So we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory for everything you've done and everything you're going to keep doing, Lord, as long as we maintain the course. In Jesus' name, amen.